The Subcommittee of General Government, Ways and Means, and we will open a public hearing this morning on Senate Bill 5551, appropriation for debt, bond debt service. And we have some folks here from the Treasurer's Office. Let's see, Greg, Jeffrey, Corey Parker, and some handouts, I understand, as well.
Actually, Chair Butler and Senators this morning. I'm just going to briefly talk about, Cora Parker from the Department of Administrative Services Budget and Management Division. I'm actually do not have any handouts for you. I'll be speaking just to the proposed amendments to Senate Bill 5551. The amendments are solely for the purpose of giving expenditure limitation to the Department of Administrative Services for paying debt service costs on the $450 million worth of appropriation bonds that were sold in April of this year. Most of that amount will be paid with tobacco settlement funds during the 2003-05 biennium. About a third of it, $17 million, will be paid out of capitalized interest. And if settlement money is not available for any reason during the biennium, we would have to have an additional revenue source either appropriated or identified with expenditure limitation approved to be able to pay these bonds. There is a general fund sort of backstop on these bonds if tobacco settlement money is not available. And the Treasurer's Office, I believe, has some additional handouts to talk not only about this but about some other short-term and long-term borrowing costs as they relate to the general fund in a little bit more detail. So unless you have other questions, I will just step aside and let them go through their handouts.
Thank you very much, Cora. Kate, would you like to give us a handout there, please? So, come on, let's speak here.
The committee, Kate Richardson for the staff, Oregon State Treasury. Yes, the senators will recognize this from the treasurer's testimony yesterday in the front of the Senate Budget Committee. And we met with the co-chairs yesterday on this issue as well, and the recommendation had been to use this bill today as an opportunity to continue speaking to the issue of cost to the general fund from borrowing, both in the short term and in the long term. And because this bill today represents the first payment on the Oregon appropriation bonds, which the legislature approved in the, quote, sixth special session to help close the budget gap, we're using this opportunity to talk about both the cost of the general fund created from from financing short-term needs with long-term debt, but also to bring a little more clearer to your attention the costs of just managing the cash flow situation and to follow up on the treasurer's letter to the governor and to the legislative assembly a few weeks ago speaking to the costs of managing the cash flow, especially with no balanced budget. So we're here to give you a little perspective, a little historical perspective on the cash flow situation, and to that I'm going to ask Darren Bond to give a little bit of background on the pretty chart in front of you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Darren Bond, the Director of Finance for the Oregon State Treasury.
Can you turn the mic for you speak up a little bit?
If you look at the chart on the first page there, I think that illustrates the problem that we're in and how we've got there. Looking back to the 97-99 biennium, you can see that we began the biennium with about $800 million of beginning balance. And you look now to this current biennium, and we're beginning the biennium with basically $0 of beginning balance. And that, in and of itself, pretty much describes the cash flow problems that we've created. The beginning and ending balance has provided us a cushion to weather the we kind of have a belly in our cash flows over the course of a biennium. We spend money early, and we build back with revenues to get back to the ending balance. Without any sizable beginning balances, then we're left with having to manage those negative balances. The size of those negative balances got to the point where we were forced to issue tax anticipation notes with your help. And in the first special session, you approved the legislation for tax anticipation notes. We issued about $800 million in notes last year, and the second sheet describes the cost of those. They cost us a little over $16 million. In addition to that, through the last biennium, we had about $6 million of interest expense from interfund borrowing. Those are the kinds of costs we anticipate that we will be experiencing again this biennium as we undertake both interfund borrowing and expect to have one or two TAN issuances to be able to cover this cash flow deficit we see before us.
So, Darren, let me just ask this question. The total cost of our TANs borrowing appears to be the issuance cost plus the TANs interest, total of about $16.4 million.
Yes.
And the total amount that was borrowed, and where is it reflected as I look at the 2001-2003, is that in March when that was, or is that reflected in this general fund current resources projection?
Mr. Chair, if you look at the 01-03 line on the chart, we borrowed the money in May, I believe.
First of May.
Okay. And the amount that was borrowed total
was actually $776 million.
Okay. And the effective interest rate on that, Darren?
Approximately
2%. Okay. Plus the actual issuance cost of the TANs themselves on top of that, which was $627,000. Okay. So then as I look at the graph then, and I look at between March, April, May, that's what's basically brought us back to the zero point at the 30th of June.
Actually, Mr. Chair, it was in May of 2002 that we borrowed the TANs.
But
you're looking out in March of 2003 with a $450 million cash influx.
And that $450 are these
tobacco appropriations.
They're tobacco settlement bonds. Then. Okay. Okay, so the TANs were borrowed back in May of 2002.
Mm-hmm.
And if I look at that properly, what happened was we went from 600 down to about 1.
Mr. Chair, this chart here does not show
the TAN. Does not reflect
the TAN.
Okay, all right.
Because this is actually the TANs, that influx of cash would change the actual
isn't part of the current fund resources then, the TANs.
Right.
Okay, all right.
Right, because this happens all within the biennium.
Okay. TANs were just the mechanism we used to manage through that.
To bridge to back to zero on the other resources.
Mr. Chair, if you look at the depth that those squares were dropping, mm-hmm. we could not manage that level of internal borrowing within the Oregon Short-Term Fund, which is why we needed to go to the capital markets. That's the situation we're facing today as well. As we're looking forward, especially without a balanced budget, we cannot go to the capital markets because that would be the evidence that we're able to repay. So without that, we're having to manage this all internally. As we look forward into September and October, well, through the cost of the general fund in July, August, and then in September, October, as we project that we're going down and we're going down beyond the level the Oregon Short-Term Fund can
right.
handle. And that's why the urgency and the treasurer's letter some weeks ago say that after the first week of August, as we're looking forward, we're getting into the danger zone that we cannot manage internally, but without a balanced budget, we can also not go to the capital markets. So the cost of managing this internally is going to start increasing greatly. And the reason that we brought these numbers to you today is just to demonstrate the real money impact that this has on the general fund. Just because this general fund was in a negative cash position throughout nearly the entire biennium, last biennium, that's $22 million that it bore. That general fund shrank by $200 million, essentially. That's $22 million that was not available for other, for program costs or service costs. And that's just to manage the cash flow. In addition, the legislature also borrowed in the long term. So just to manage the cash and the budget problems, which are two distinct issues, but still have very real impacts to the general fund. I mean, in this next biennium, because of borrowing for long term for a short term need, you have over $41 million not available for programs and services this time. And today, just for managing your cash flow, your negative cash position, every day we're paying interest out the door. And this doesn't show up as a line item on your budget in the same way, but the $22 million is an important number to keep in mind. That's a good portion of the Legislative Assembly's budget, and these are huge amounts that the general fund is bearing in interest costs just to manage its cash. So we're here to speak about those costs that the general fund bears, is the short-term negative cash flow costs, and that those costs will increase greatly the longer it takes. It's going to be costing you regardless whether you have a balanced budget or not. It's going to be a lot more the longer you go without a balanced budget. Secondly, the Treasurer is concerned about some talk in the building about using bonds to finance, to close the budget as part of managing this next biennium's needs. And by showing you the costs of the appropriation bonds and how that cost will play out over the next several biennia, you can see that this has huge impacts on what other general fund or other monies might be available for program costs. And so he is absolutely opposed to using bonds to borrow in for a short-term need over a long-term, because in the end you're just shrinking your general fund as it goes forward. So we're here today to point out that the decisions you make regarding ending fund balance, regarding where the general fund sits in a cash position, and then also any borrowing you're doing for short-term has very real impacts. And that's that bottom line number, just the total cost of the short-term financing between short-term for cash flow and then also some program needs that you use for your budget by buying $450 million. Last biennium is $143 million just for last biennium, and most of those costs will be borne in future biennia.
You're just a boatload of good information and great news this morning, Kate.
I aim to please.
Thank you, Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Kate, from the historical portion, you know, I think would be obviously quite accurate. But for this existing biennium, you must have had to make some assumptions about what expenditures levels would be and some assumptions about revenue. And it seemed to me that your assumptions about expenditures would probably be based upon some existing document, but you could not assume new revenue that had not already been approved.
Senator Devlin, again, Cora Parker from the Department of Administrative Services. You're absolutely correct. As you see, we end up, the 2003-05 line is well below zero, so this is out of balance. This is based on the May forecast as far as revenue stream goes. So nothing new as far as any suggestions for additional revenue. This is just an as-is current law forecast for revenue. The expenditure side is based on co-chairs level plus some of those adds and takes that have been agreed upon in the building. So I think a slight increase to state school fund up to the level that has been agreed upon. This is obviously not what the cash flow will look like once you get a balanced budget passed. First of all, the line will have to shift up to close to that zero level, depending on what you do with an ending balance. So they're, you know, and depending on when revenue sources are brought in, if they're at the beginning of the biennium or at the end of the biennium, that could change how the pattern looks, that trough that Darren talked about early on, where that hits throughout the biennium. So you're absolutely correct. This is just an assumption at a certain point in time that we did to show where we are at right now.
That's why it shows in effect $1.1 billion out of balance, cash that we cannot show as a $1.1 billion negative. It'll have to be at least zero or more at the end of the biennium, at the end of the 2003-05 biennium.
That's correct. There are some cash flow things, the way the revenue forecast goes and when cash comes in, that can change that around the zero margin. But for the most part, yes, you're balancing back up to a zero point.
Okay. Further questions for the Treasurer or for budget management? Darren?
Mr. Chair, if I might add, one thing to keep in mind when you look at that, while we are estimating, as Cora described, it's important to note that the early parts of this of that line for 0305 are going to be awfully accurate. And so as we look into the November-December time frame, those expenditures are going to go out the door much like as planned, and the changes that happen more than likely will be spread across the biennium, and we'll see improvement build over the course of the biennium. But
based upon new revenues coming in to bring it back up.
There will be a miracle that brings this back up early in the biennium. And so when we look out through October, November, December, these are the deficits that we can expect. And
so those are close to the actual deficits we're going to experience even when we do raise revenues and cut expenditures.
Could be somewhat better, could be somewhat worse, but I think this is a good ballpark.
And Mr. Chair, if I might add, sort of the big picture that the Treasurer wants to continue to drive home is that even with the balanced budget and it turning up, most of the biennium, if not absolutely all, will be under the zero line, which means that the general fund is paying interest.
And then we come back to another $16.4 million of additional costs or more because we were in the red substantially larger amounts early on than we were in the last session. Or in the 03 or 103 session. Other questions then for council? Thank you very much. We'll open then a public hearing, or I beg your pardon, a work session on 5551, Senate Bill 5551, Appropriations Bond Service. That Representative Patrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the gas loan amendments to Senate Bill 5551.
You've heard the motion. Are there any objections? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered. Representative Patrick.
Mr. Chair, I move the Senate Bill 5551 as amended by this committee.
You've heard the DuPass recommendation in full. Any objections? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered. Thank you very much, Representative Patrick. Anything further there? I think that's it. It goes to the full today at 2, is my understanding. Yes,
Mr. Chair. We're doing it tomorrow.
Or it's full as tomorrow, I think.
Full tomorrow.
Okay.
I'll carry in the Senate.
You'll carry it to the Senate?
How about the full?
Give it to Patrick.
Representative Patrick. And I can take it to the House or Representative Patrick.
Whatever you want to do, Mr. Chair.
We'll do it.
I turned in my credit card, so I'm having
okay.
So Patrick's going to carry it to the 6 hours of hearings today.
With that, we will close the work session on 5551 Senate Bill. Thank you.